I'm Nina Jaffe. And on the phone with me again is Marilyn Burns, the guru of numbers to thousands of teachers and author of many books about math for both teachers and kids. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Nina.
Marilyn's latest project is a series of 10 books called Teaching Arithmetic, Lessons at Work for Grades 1 through 6, and it's published by Math Solutions. The first 5 books in the series are out now, and I understand that the next 5 books in the series are coming out next fall. Is that right?
Well, we have plans for 5 more books, but 3 of them will be out this coming fall, and then the 2 will follow.
So far, I understand that one way that teachers can give you feedback on these books is through the website, your online resource for teachers.
Yes. If they go on the website and click on the newsletter, they'll find letters that other teachers have written that I've responded to, and we've gotten permission to post them, and there's a place that they can just click and write what they need to write.
Great. All year on Teacher Radio, we've been talking to Marilyn about how to help children develop real problem-solving skills in arithmetic, as opposed to simply learning how to add and subtract by rote methods. And many teachers are working hard to change how they teach math to emphasize problem-solving. Many of those teachers have questions about the change they're going through, and often they turn to Marilyn Burns for advice. So today we're going to share some of the most frequently asked questions of Marilyn about this subject. Are you ready, Marilyn?
I'm ready.
Great. Well, here's one question that's often come up. Should I ever teach the standard algorithms, or are they always a no-no?
Asking about the standard algorithms is a very important question, and one I get asked about a lot. The standard algorithms for teachers are those that we were either taught ourselves or have been learned through our instructional programs, our ways to teach children how to do arithmetic. And I think that there are a few misconceptions that teachers need to think about. One is to keep the goal in mind. The goal is not to learn the algorithm. The goal is to learn to compute efficiently and accurately. Now, it's been decided that certain methods are more efficient than other methods, and I agree with that. But there is no such thing as the standard algorithm. There are ways that children in different countries are taught to do particular procedures. I was taught a particular procedure for a subtraction that is not the one that I was instructed to teach when I was taking my teacher education courses. So there's no one algorithm that is the right way to do it. So that said, I think what's important is to keep in mind efficiency and accuracy. And secondly, to keep in mind that whatever procedures children are using must be procedures that they understand. Our goal in school is not to make children into mindless computers, but to make them into thinking, reasoning young mathematicians who deal numerically efficiently and accurately.
Sounds like, in a way, reaching back to some very important ancient philosophies around education, such as those taught by Socrates and Plato. So all this is really reaching back to some very important sources of civilization.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, what about learning the basic facts? Do students still need to learn them?
Absolutely. Because to me, if I'm thinking about how I would compute, and I can think about a problem that I could imagine doing in my head that was something which I never thought that I would do in my head. For example, two-digit multiplication. It's typical to give fourth graders practice multiplying a problem like 22 times 12, and they would line it up and do it. But I learned to think about 22 times 12 in a different way. I think about 22 times 10, which I know is 220. I know 22 times 2 is 44, so I can say 220 and 44, I think it's 264. I think that's the right answer. I just did it. But in order to do that kind of thinking, I've got to know basic facts. I've got to know 2 times 2 is 4.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to have the building tools to use so that I am flexible when I think and that I can think accurately. So I think the basic facts are absolutely essential, the basic addition facts. I don't want children to consider 5 plus 3 every day as if it's a new experience. At some point, I want them to just know 5 plus 3 is 8, and that's just what it is, and I don't have to go through the process. But when children are first learning, it is appropriate for them to think about 5 plus 3 in as many ways as they can. Well, I know 5 and 1 more is 6, and then 1 more is 7, and 1 more is 8. Or 3 and 3 is 6, and I've got 2 more left from the 5, and that makes 8. So that there is a point at which the learning the basic facts is essential, but it shouldn't be the starting place. The starting place is still to develop the understanding.
Mm. Another one of the questions that has come up is about testing, and especially the use of time tests. Can time tests like quizzes or other kinds of testing techniques be used to help children learn their basic facts?
Now, I think the thing for a teacher to think about is what's the purpose of a test? If the purpose of the test is to help a child learn, then I don't understand time constraints. Right. No mathematician ever has a time constraint, and some mathematicians have worked on problems for years. The man who finally solved Fermat's theorem that was written about several years ago, he was on it for years before he came up with a solution. Time tests of basic facts that test automaticity of those facts aren't going to help the child learn. They may give a teacher feedback on a child's ability at that time. So if a teacher wants to have that feedback, they may choose to give a quiz in that way. And I think children should know, this is my chance as a teacher to find out if you know the basic times tables well enough. And if you don't, it's my job as a teacher to help you. So show your stuff. Let's go at it. But teachers who do time tests as regular regimens, thinking that this is going to help children learn, I think are misguided. There's a difference between teaching and testing, and I think teachers need to think very deeply about that difference.
Mm. You know, when children are beginning to use a problem-solving approach that you have written about and offered so many resources about for teachers across the country, children's methods are often seem to be more cumbersome or inefficient than what could be provided through through an algorithm that you've just learned right away. Doesn't it make more sense to help children learn the standard ways for computing?
Well, children's thinking initially may be cumbersome and inefficient, but it's their thinking, and that's the starting place. There's a wonderful book that Eleanor Duckworth wrote years ago called The Having of Wonderful Ideas. And she said any idea that a child has is a wonderful idea, even if somebody else had that idea before. And that's the starting place for your teaching. And I think that children's early methods are cumbersome. Look how young children learn to write. They hold their pencils with difficulty. They form their letters in a very shaky manner. Look at children learning an instrument. They play simple songs and they stumble. Why don't we allow children time to stumble in math and find their own way? Why is math seen as the subject where everybody has to be right there mastering everything on the particular time schedule that we have set? It just doesn't make sense.
Right. Another question that's come up is about drill and practice. Is drill and practice ever appropriate? And if you're going to use drill and practice, what way works the best?
Well, sure, practice is appropriate because I go back to my piano lessons as a child. Practicing helped me have access to making music. So first of all, is the drill and practice a vehicle for helping the children do mathematics? Getting the answer to a subtraction problem on a page is not the essence of mathematics. Where's the music in mathematics?
Right.
So I'm looking for repeated use as opposed to repeated practice. It may seem like a subtle difference, but I want children to have many opportunities over and over and over again to practice arithmetic. But I think of arithmetic not as those isolated numbers on worksheets, but arithmetic as using numerical reasoning to find answers to problems of human importance. May sound lofty, but that's the name of the game for me.
Always. Thank you, Marilyn. It's been great talking with you again today. And remember, you can find more math wisdom from Marilyn every day at the Math Solutions website, which is www.mathsolutions.com. You'll find information about all of her books and videos and about the Math Solutions workshops for teachers that are held across the country. And you'll get the latest news on Marilyn's new series of books, Teaching Arithmetic, Lessons at Work for Grades 1 through 6. The website address again is www.mathsolutions.com. Bye, Marilyn.
Bye, Nina. I've really enjoyed our conversations.